What are you doing? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
I never worked for Russia.
Trump made a major announcement yesterday. He's planning a big party, and we're all invited. He wrote, hold the date. We will be having one of the biggest gatherings in the history of Washington, D.C. on July 4th. It will be called A Salute to America and will be held at the Lincoln Memorial. Major fireworks display, entertainment, and an address by your favorite president, me. Finally, a chance to celebrate America on July 4th. And, I mean, it's a great idea. Really. And if that works, who knows? Maybe we'll dress the kids up and give them candy on October 31st, you know? Trump says this will be one of the biggest gatherings in the history of Washington, D.C., and he's never been wrong about the size of a crowd there before. It is cute that he thinks he's still going to be president in July, but if he is, this announcement creates more questions than answers, and we really don't know what's going on. So to get some more detail on it, we tracked down the gentleman who was in charge of planning this celebration. His name's Gil McManus, and let's go live to him now in Washington. Hello, Gil. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi there.
Jimmy, hello. Happy America to you.
Oh, happy America to you too, Gil. You know, there's a lot of interest around this salute to America the president announced, but his tweet didn't give us many specifics. Can you give us an idea of what it is you're working on specifically?
Well, Jimmy, it'll be good old-fashioned American fun.
Oh.
Streamers, hot dogs, climate change scientists in dunk tanks.
Oh.
Listen, the president himself riding a bald eagle around the White House lawn.
Well, that sounds, it sounds illegal, actually.
Yeah, but you know what Jefferson said? Laws are for p-
You know, I don't think Jefferson said that, but...
Well, he wrote it.
Oh. Okay.
I think you're familiar with Kellyanne Conway?
Yes, of course, of course.
She is going to sing about mountains.
Oh!
Yeah.
That sounds great.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hoot.
Okay, but why does President Trump want such a big 4th of July event this year?
The president believes the 4th of July is the perfect time to unite the country.
Uh-huh.
To get people together from both sides of the aisle to celebrate 243 years of being the cockiest sons of bitches on the planet Earth.
Well, is that something we really want to celebrate, Gil?
You're darn straight we do. This is America.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping, no. Don't catch you slipping, no. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping, no. Don't catch you slipping, no. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping, no. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap.
This is a chance for Americans to strap on our star-spangled fanny packs and drink beer until the police show up.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, that's, all right. We are number one. We're number one. High five.
Now, there's nobody Trump had trouble booking acts for his inauguration. What kind of entertainment do you have lined up for this one?
Ah, well, let's see.
Uh-huh.
Yes, this is a winner.
Okay.
Listen, Ivanka can wave for up to 9 hours at a time without changing her facial expression. Oh. It's an amazing thing to watch.
Okay, I mean, I'm not, it doesn't sound entertaining really, necessarily, but.
Well, then you're gonna love this.
After Trump declared a national emergency to bypass Congress and build his border wall, 16 states filed legal challenges almost immediately. In comments to reporters this week, Trump insisted he had the absolute right to unilaterally build his wall and said it was a matter of national security.
We have absolute right to do that. I have an absolute right to call national security. We need strong borders. It's an open and closed case. I was put here for security, whether it's Space Force, which we're doing today, or whether it's borders.
Space Force and borders. It's pretty telling that despite the effects of climate change, gun violence, and inadequate health care, Trump thinks the biggest threats to America are asylum seekers and Klingons. I mean, hell, why not combine the two and deploy the Space Force to the border? The National Emergency Declaration is just the latest example of Trump's disregard for the rule of law. Republicans have elected a guy who tramples over the Constitution after spending years lecturing the rest of us about the Constitution. And even though he clearly didn't mean it, Trump repeatedly promised during the campaign that he would restore the rule of law.
We have to restore the rule of law on our border, in our government, no matter where it is. It has to be restored. In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law. This election will determine whether we remain a free country in the truest sense of the word, or we become a corrupt banana republic controlled by large donors and foreign governments.
I'm sorry, real quick, can we hear that word again?
Controlled by large donors.
Did you mean to say donors? Why do you sound like Madea? That's like saying Congress is going to pass a lure or reminding everyone to get out and vote. But you heard Trump very clearly there. The government would not be controlled by large donors or, more importantly, foreign governments. The president of the United States will put Americans above everyone else, period.
In his latest interviews, as well as in his new book, the former FBI acting director Andrew McCabe recounts a time President Trump refused to believe information from top U.S. intelligence officials, preferred instead to take the word of Russia's Vladimir Putin.
The president said he did not believe that the North Koreans had the capability to hit us here with ballistic missiles in the United States. And he did not believe that because President Putin had told him they did not. Intelligence officials in the briefing responded that that was not consistent with any of the intelligence our government possesses. To which the president replied, "I don't care. I believe Putin."
So, Putin, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me.
He told American intelligence officials he believed Putin over them. Say what you will about Trump. He might be a criminal, but at least he's super obvious about it. Like if someone asked Barry Bonds if he wanted to take batting practice and he said, "Not right now, I have to go take my steroids." Why on earth would you believe Putin over your own intelligence officials unless you had some sort of corrupt relationship with him? In interviews this month, McCabe has detailed the extent to which Trump tried to interfere in the various investigations of him and his closest aides. For example, after Trump fired James Comey and McCabe took over as acting FBI director, Trump tried to claim that Comey was widely disliked within the FBI. And even tried to get McCabe to say he also hated Comey, which was not true.
The president immediately went off on almost a gleeful description of what had happened with the firing of Jim Comey. And then he went on to state that people in the FBI were thrilled about this, that people really disliked Jim Comey, and that they were very happy about this, and that it was a great thing. What I was hearing from the president was not reality. It was the version of the events that I quickly realized he wished me to adopt. And he said, "I heard that you were one of the people that did not support Jim Comey. You didn't agree with him and the decisions that he'd made in the Clinton case. And is that true?" And I said, "No, sir, that's not true."
Trump thinks he can Jedi mind trick you into believing something. He's like one of those old-timey villains with black and white swirls for eyes. You hated James Comey. No, I liked him. No, you hated him. What's wrong with your eyes? Oh, they're transplants from a donor. McCabe was worried that the president was trying to interfere in the Russia investigation, which was obviously true. In fact, Trump started to install loyalists who he knew he could control, like his recently departed acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker. Whitaker refused to recuse himself from the Russia investigation, and a few weeks ago, he even insisted the investigation was winding down, although he seems super nervous about it.
Before you came into your current role, you were publicly very critical of the special counsel investigation. Now, since you have received your briefings, is there anything that you've seen or read that gives you concern about special counsel Robert Mueller or his investigation?
You know, I've been fully briefed on the investigation, and, you know, I look forward to Director Mueller delivering the final report. But right now, you know, the investigation is, close to being completed, and I hope that we can get the report from Director Mueller as soon as possible.
Look at how sweaty he is. He looks like a glass of iced tea on a hot summer day. Somebody put that guy in a coaster. Trump installed Whitaker to get the various investigations of him and his associates under control, like Michael Cohen, who is being investigated by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. And this week, the New York Times reported that Trump tried to get Whitaker to put an ally of his in charge of the Cohen investigation.
The Times reports that while Manhattan's federal prosecutors were gathering evidence on Trump's involvement in hush money payments during the 2016 election, Trump called former acting attorney general Matthew Whitaker. Quote, Trump asked whether Jeffrey S. Berman, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York and a Trump ally, could be put in charge of the widening investigation, according to several American officials with direct knowledge of the call.
So Trump tried to get Whitaker to interfere in the investigation of Michael Cohen. Can you imagine how much Whitaker was sweating during that phone call? Probably looked like he just climbed out of a pool. Now, there's been speculation for months that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation is wrapping up or winding down, and it's never been true. But now this week, there's new reporting that Justice Department officials are expecting Mueller's final report as soon as next week.
We have the clearest indication yet that Special Counsel Robert Mueller is nearly done with his almost two-year investigation and that the endgame here is near. Sources say the Justice Department is preparing to announce as early as next week that Attorney General Bill Barr has received Mueller's confidential report. And soon after that announcement, Barr will review the findings and then submit his own summary to Congress.
Well, last night's Oscars ceremony did not mention Trump by name once. The closest anyone came was Spike Lee mentioning the 2020 election in his acceptance speech.
The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate.
I love that he didn't mention Trump by name, but Trump heard hate and assumed it was about him. When Trump hears the word hate, it's like his bat signal.
Someone said the word hate. Alfred, get me my Twitter belt.
And once again, Trump had to elbow his way into the spotlight, lashing out at Spike Lee on Twitter.
He said, he tweeted this out, be nice if Spike Lee could read his notes, or better yet, not have to use notes at all when doing his racist hit on your president, who has done more for African Americans, criminal justice reform, lowest unemployment numbers in history, tax cuts, etc., than almost any other prez.
I'm sorry, are you really calling someone else a racist who can't read notes? Every time you read off a teleprompter, you sound like an Amazon Echo that fell in the toilet.
Our hope is a word and world through their lives and though their lives. They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children. Controlled by large donors, 10,000 known or suspected gang members.
Ah, yes, suspected. As in, I watched the president's press conference and suspected he was having a stroke. Trump can't stand any mention of 2020 without getting involved. For example, CNN reported on Friday that he's already planning on wading into the 2020 Democratic primary. Even though the first votes are still a year away, Trump reportedly wants to sow division among Democrats.
New reporting from CNN shows Trump is eager to play a disruptive role in the Democratic primary. And in the words of one advisor, his team is looking for ways to cause chaos from the left and right. One Republican who speaks to him often tells CNN the president wants to get into the game. People may knock him in terms of running the government, but he gets the campaign and can't wait to get started.
It's like the tagline for a new sitcom. He's bad at government, but great at causing chaos. Tune in this fall for The President is a Cat. Even Trump's advisors admit he's bad at running the government, but he's good at causing chaos. I wish I'd been there for that strategy meeting. Okay, guys, so on this side, we have weaknesses running the government, foreign policy, domestic policy, reading, writing, spelling, and speaking. And on this side, we have strengths, chaos, so we're gonna go with that. The only part of the job Trump likes is campaigning. In fact, on Saturday, he seemed jealous of all the attention the 2020 Democrats have been getting and decided to weigh in, tweeting, "There is far more energy on the right than there is on the left." Trump definitely doesn't have more energy than the Democrats. He doesn't have more energy than anyone. You hardly ever see him walking. His favorite hobby is a game where you hit a ball and then you drive to wherever he lands.
Now, on any other day, the biggest news would easily be the meeting between an autocratic madman and the world's most dangerous baby. You can decide who's who. But even though President Trump is all the way in Vietnam, his domestic scandals are still dominating the news while he's away.
Today was truly one of the most eventful days of the Trump presidency. It's not often you have one of the president's closest personal confidants testify before Congress about their relationship.
Michael Cohen delivered an opening statement that somehow managed to mention both the Holocaust and a porn star, and we were off to the races from there.
Cohen wasted no time in going after Trump personally and directly in his opening statement, and he touched on so many of the central questions surrounding the president, everything from whether Trump was aware of the emails hacked during the campaign to whether Trump had lied about plans to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, to whether Trump personally reimbursed him for the hush payment to Stormy Daniels.
He was a presidential candidate who knew that Roger Stone was talking with Julian Assange about a WikiLeaks drop on the Democratic National Committee emails. Mr. Trump knew of and directed the Trump-Moscow negotiations throughout the campaign and lied about it. He asked me to pay off an adult film star with whom he had an affair, and to lie about it to his wife, which I did. A lot of people have asked me about whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of the hacked documents, the Democratic National Committee emails, ahead of time. And the answer is yes.
Damn. He just listed off a bunch of alleged crimes committed by the president on national TV. You know, it's so ironic. Trump finally went to Vietnam, and he's getting killed back home. In fact, Cohen even provided a copy of a check Trump personally signed to pay off Stormy Daniels. Look at that. That is a check the president wrote while he was in office to break election law and cover up an affair.
The Republicans were relentless in their blind defense of the president. Their strategy today seemed to be, we don't believe this liar. We believe the other liar, okay? As if being a liar wasn't the main reason Trump hired Michael Cohen. The job interview went something like this. Will you lie for me, Michael? Yes, Mr. President. Welcome aboard. But I have to say, seriously, and this is, I watched the whole thing. It really is disturbing to me that these Republicans in the House, not all of them, in fact, one of them, a guy named Justin Amash from Michigan, seemed to be reasonable, but the vast majority of them seem to have no interest whatsoever in learning whether or not the president committed a crime. Almost none of their questions were even about Donald Trump. They didn't even pretend they cared. See, if I was president and I was accused of something I swore I didn't do, I would want a full investigation. I would want them to ask real questions. But instead, they were behaving like they had this image of Trump raging around his hotel room in his underpants, watching them on TV. So they had to make a stand. Nixon must be so jealous of these guys, really. He didn't get that. But it was quite a show of outrage and bluster. I tell you, I haven't seen acting from Republicans like this since Arnold Schwarzenegger in Jingle All the Way.
How can we believe anything you say? The answer is, we can't.
You lie on your taxes, you lie to banks, and you have been convicted of lying to Congress.
I've arrested several thousand men. And you remind me of many of them.
A convicted liar, lying to Congress, a criminal.
He's going to prison
for lying to Congress.
You lied to banks. It's a shameful mockery.
There's not much that you won't lie about.
You're about to go to prison for lying.
A narcissist, a bully.
A convicted liar.
Was it exhausting keeping track of all the lies you were telling all these people?
Tax evader, bank swindler, and all-around liar.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
That's right. That's what he said, liar, liar, pants on fire. So this was Donald Trump's right-hand man. For 10 years, this guy was so loyal to Donald Trump, he took out a loan on his house to pay off a porn star he didn't even get to have sex with. Imagine refinancing your mortgage so your boss can sexually disappoint someone for 2 minutes in a golf tournament, okay? Only the best people. He said that during the campaign, he listened in on Roger Stone on the speakerphone telling Trump he was in contact with WikiLeaks about the emails that were hacked from the DNC, which is bigly because Trump told the New York Times he never talked to Stone about WikiLeaks. He also asked him to cover his bad grades.
When I say con man, I'm talking about a man who declares himself brilliant, but directed me to threaten his high school, his colleges, and the college board to never release his grades or SAT scores.
Don't anyone panic, but he's talking about the guy negotiating a nuclear arms agreement right now. Our president is a 72-year-old man who still worries about his SAT scores.
Mr. Assange told Mr. Stone that within a couple of days, there would be a massive dump.
Who said there would be a, quote, massive dump.
He had advanced notice that there was going to be a dump.
Are you aware of Mr. Trump coordinating or signaling for this email dump?
One of the most significant events in the last presidential campaign, of course, was the dump. Quote, massive dump. So Mr. Trump was aware of the upcoming dump before it actually happened.
Yes.
Right. And is there any record?
Though, sir, I don't know whether he knew or not, and I don't believe he did, what the sum and substance of the dump was going to be, only that there was going to be a dump.
And he was aware of that before the dump occurred, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else the committee should talk to about the president's knowledge of the WikiLeaks email dump?
Massive dump.
Email dump.
Massive dump, 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 dump.
Massive dump, 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 dump.
Every one of us in this room has a duty.
Michael Cohen told Congress that President Trump is a racist, a con man, and a cheat, which would have been big news if it wasn't also the slogan for Trump's 2020 campaign.
Now, before today, prosecutors had not technically identified Trump as the person who orchestrated the hush money scheme. In court filings, prosecutors referred to him only as Individual One, although they did give us a clue as to Individual One's identity. On approximately June 16, 2015, Individual One began an ultimately successful campaign for President of the United States. So everyone knew Individual One was Trump, and yet in his testimony, Cohen still delivered it like it was some big dramatic reveal.
Last fall, I pled guilty in federal court to felonies for the benefit of, at the direction of, and in coordination with Individual Number One. And for the record, Individual Number One is President Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump? Ay, Dios mío. Cohen also provided what he claimed was an explanation for Trump's behavior during the campaign. He never expected to be president. He acted only in his own personal interest, and that's because he saw the campaign as an opportunity to enrich himself.
Donald Trump is a man who ran for office to make his brand great, not to make our country great. He had no desire or intention to lead this nation, only to market himself and to build his wealth and power. Mr. Trump would often say, this campaign was going to be the greatest infomercial in political history.
It's true. And like any product you buy from an infomercial, it turned out to be much crappier than it looked on TV. Trump, if we're being honest, Donald Trump is the slanket of presidents. On TV, you thought, that's cool, a blanket with sleeves. And now 2 years later, it's stained, shrinking, and filled with farts. And you're like, get this thing out of my house. And Cohen wasn't just there to testify about the president's alleged crimes. He also provided information about everything from Trump's long history of racism to his net worth. In fact, Cohen revealed that even though Trump waged a racist campaign to get President Obama to release his college records, he made Cohen threaten Trump schools not to release his grades and SAT scores.
I'm talking about a man who declares himself brilliant, but directed me to threaten his high school, his colleges, and the college board to never release his grades or SAT scores.
I shudder to imagine what Trump's SAT score was.
It had to be a perfect score. I filled in every circle.
Like, I swear to God, if you tell anyone I got a G-minus in math, I will destroy you.
Cohen also talked in depth about the infamous Trump Tower meeting with the Russians in June 2016. Again, Trump has claimed he knew nothing about that meeting, which was organized by his son, Don Jr. Cohen said he suspected Trump did know about the meeting based on something he saw happen in Trump Tower.
I remember being in a room with Mr. Trump, probably in early June of 2016, when something peculiar happened. Don Trump Jr. came into the room and walked behind his father's desk, which in and of itself was unusual. People didn't just walk behind Mr. Trump's desk to talk to him. And I recall Don Jr. leaning over to his father and speaking in a low voice, which I could clearly hear, and saying, "The meeting is all set." And I remember Mr. Trump saying, "Okay, good, let me know."
He said it in a low voice Cohen could clearly hear. These guys are too dumb to whisper.
"Hey, Dad, I got an idea for a crime. Whisper. Hey, Dad, I got an idea for a crime."
But the standout line from Cohen's account of the Trump Tower meeting was what came next. Cohen said he was surprised Trump would listen to Don Jr. because of what Trump had said about his son behind his back.
"What struck me as I looked back and thought about the exchange between Don Jr. and his father was, first, that Mr. Trump had frequently told me and others that his son Don Jr. had the worst judgment of anyone in the world."
Man, you know what's bad? When you get dissed for being dumb by the guy who threatened his college not to release his SAT scores.
"He's dumber than me, and I'm dumb as a rock."
Today, we witnessed something truly rare and historic. One of the president's closest personal confidants detailing Trump's alleged crimes and personal failings for the entire world to see. This hearing also showed that Republicans are supporting Trump despite the fact that there's still so much we don't know about him.
"I am ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist. He is a con man, and he is a cheat."
It was the most damning testimony against a sitting president since, well, probably John Dean incriminated Richard Nixon.
"When was the last communication with President Trump or someone acting on his behalf?"
"So, I don't have the specific date, but it was a while ago."
"And what did he or his agent communicate to you?"
Unfortunately, this topic is actually something that's being investigated right now by the Southern District of New York, and I've been asked by them not to discuss and not to talk about these issues."
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.